I wanted to make try. I hope I don't confuse anybody. I'm trying to go the opposite direction here and make it clear some of the terms that the Bible uses that we use without defining it every time. But they have specific meaning and a lot of meaning. And they tie together the old scriptural writings to Israel with the, I shouldn't say they tie together, but they show the difference between and the steps that ended the old way of coming to God before the way we come to God now, and how our way started, the way that we can come to God got started. Let's see. We're okay here, I think, right? Does something else need to be clarified? We're okay, I think. Okay. So, a work is what I've called it, but it's also involving a diminishing. You may be familiar with the term diminishing from Romans 11, verse 12. It's talking about very much, very similar. A part of it is the same thing, put it that way. The diminishing goes on beyond a work, but a work is the part that I want to specify about tonight. That's all on Israel's side. Israel is what diminishes. It has nothing to do with the body of Christ. The work has to do with Israel, not the body of Christ. But the other side of that, God's addressing of that, is from the body of Christ's side, and that's called the dispensation of the gospel of Christ. A dispensation of the gospel. Let's start in the prophecies, in Habakkuk 1:5, and we'll read that. Behold, you among the nations. So this is the prophet of God speaking to Israel. Behold, you among the heathen. They had been scattered or dispersed. What's the term? Exiled. And regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. So that has to be prophecy, since it was spoken by a prophet of God to Israel. It's an Israel event. It's not a body of Christ event. It's not a heathen event. It's for those that Habakkuk addressed, which would be Israel, and it's about a work that God prophesied he would work in your days. It's not the body of Christ, not a body of Christ event, or a prophecy about the body of Christ. If we look briefly, Paul does refer to that in Romans chapter 9. Welcome to the room. Romans chapter 9, verse 28. In Romans 9, 28, he says, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And it was short. It was, what, less than 25 years. And we've gone on with the next phase over 1,900 years already in the dispensation of the grace of God. So the Lord did cut it short. He gave those... Now, I'm jumping ahead of myself here. So we'll see in a few minutes that he cut it short. And righteousness. We've been imputed, we believers, that Christ died for our sins and that was sufficient to God to save us. I read in the text here and I shouldn't have done that. I lost my train of thought. I forgot what I was saying anyway. What is dispensation in short? It's God dispensing his means of saving people at that time, at any particular time. Right now we're saved by the gospel of the grace of God, and ever since Acts 20, that's been the case. That we who believe that Christ died for all our sins, and that I think that's what I was saying, that was sufficient to save us, we are saved. Lost sound? Does everybody else have sound, or anybody else have sound? Okay. So that's salvation. That's the salvation of today. In Israel's time, they had a different gospel. They, you know, back before Israel, in Abraham's time, we read about Galatians 3:8, the gospel to Abraham was good news, that in him will all nations be blessed. The gospel of Noah, good news for him was that he'd be saved from the wrath of God in that flood by building that ark. He had to have the faith to go through 100 years of building an ark according to God's specifications, and he did, and it saved him. Israel had to believe the covenants. They had to keep the law, the Mosaic law, had to keep the Sabbath, had to keep the circumcision. They had a lot of things they had to do. The last thing was to believe that prophet that the Lord would send like unto Moses. And they didn't. They didn't believe Jesus Christ. They didn't believe he was God, the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. And that's how they fell as a nation. But during the diminishing, God kept offering to individual Jews, the ability to still come into that. Not the gospel, but that. I don't like to use the word dispensation of the law because I hear it used, but the Bible doesn't use that term. But maybe we could say the dispensing of the law. When people before John the Baptist, Luke 16:16. Let me just pull that up. 16. I hope that's the right verse. Yeah, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. So the law and the prophets were taught, and believing the law, that was Israel's way of coming to God. And Gentiles could come just as easily. I mean, they could believe that God was working in the world and saving people through Israel, and they could bless Israel. Look at Genesis 12, verse 3. God promised to bless people, Gentiles, that would bless Israel. And that's you can see a good picture of that in Cornelius in Acts 10 and 11:16 or so. I don't want to get too far off the track here, but God said he would work a short work in righteousness. And I said something earlier that I have to explain before it, causes somebody to misunderstand. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20, Paul, in that phase, that step, when he had preached the gospel in Corinth in the synagogue, and some people had believed, and they came out and moved across the wall under the same roof, just a wall divided them, into Paul's meeting. And he was teaching that some of those people were still being called into Israel's way of believing, into the circumcision. And he said they're not to try and believe, they're not to try and become, I'm looking up the verses here, I don't want to ad lib it. It's too important. we complain about others not using the scripture, and I don't want to fall into that same category. That sums it up there, right, Ember? But as God hath distributed to every man, not talking about a nation here anymore, to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. He's not saying everybody follow my way here. Here he's talking about to a mixed group, and so I ordain in all the churches, in all churches. Let me go into 18 here, verse 18. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Stay a Jew, a believing Jew, though. Now, it's not the same gospel that Peter preached on Pentecost there in Acts 2 and Acts 3. He preached that the kingdom was at hand. If you receive Christ as Son of God, Messiah, and risen from the dead, he will come back and reign and begin the 7 year, you know, it'll be the 7 years of tribulation, and then the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But these people would be believing that sometime out there in the future, just like we know today, that Christ is going to come back after the catching up of the body of Christ. Christ will come back and reign for 1,000 years. And that's what they were believing in. That they were called to believe that. That was the call of God on them. Those people, they probably had heard the gospel of the kingdom about Jesus Christ before he was crucified, and hadn't known whether to believe it. I don't know if all of them were in that situation, but I would guess that most of them were. I don't think he's generating new people, I shouldn't say converts, because they would be converted into Judaism. But there's also these other people that were called in uncircumcision. They were called to listen to Paul's gospel of God and then believe it, and then hear about how to be saved, the gospel of Christ, and be saved by it into the body of Christ. He says, let them not be circumcised. They're not to try and abide by Israel's rules. They're not to try and be Messianic Jews. So, going back to the thought about a work, it was a short work. It was during this time of diminishing, and not even all of that, according to some of the verses we'll see in a few minutes. The diminishing went on beyond this work that the Lord was doing. My understanding is that the work was the part of this verse 18, 1 Corinthians 7:18, the part that was about the Jews still being able to come into Israel's doctrine and believe it. And then, you know, just like Israel's doctrine, they had to endure to the end. If they're resurrected, well, let's go on. We're getting off the topic. But we find that following these this prophecy and Israel's fall, Israel did fall in Acts 7. We've gone over that. There are lessons on the website about that. But Israel's fall in Acts 7 meant that people can't come to God through Israel anymore. And so within hours or a few days, in Acts 9, we see Paul getting saved a different way. He was unforgivable. Unforgivable in Israel's doctrine. But the Lord, it calls it a pattern, a new pattern the Lord started in 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16, a pattern by which the sins of people were not just forgiven, not just blotted out. The sinner was declared guilty and to be killed, and Jesus Christ took that judgment on himself. He died the death It's not just blotting out something and saying, well, I'll forgive you. Christ had to go through the death for me and for you. And so that was new then. They didn't know about that would save us. Isaiah 53 talks about Christ bearing Israel's sins, not the whole world's sins, but talks about Israel's sins. But it doesn't say how to appropriate that. It doesn't say if you believe that Christ died for your sins, you're saved, like we know today through Paul. They didn't have that. That wasn't their gospel. So Paul got saved in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus, and that changed things. That meant that God was working in the world through the body of Christ. Paul being our only apostle. Christ's only apostle to the Gentiles. Peter wasn't an apostle to the Gentiles. He was sent one time to one Gentile, specifically one that had blessed Israel and had continued to bless Israel. A Greek, in other words. And there's a specific reason for that. The mirror side of that, what the Cornelius event reversed, was when Christ began to offer the kingdom and stopped. It was to be pure. It was not to be left to other people. It was the Jews were the ones that would run the kingdom. They would be the rulers from the land. And so Christ said, Matthew 10:5, my memory's not serving me well tonight, but I'll read it. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. So that whole ministry there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, was to Israel, not to the Gentiles. And the Cornelius event reversed that. It was after the fall of Israel, and the Gentiles were as welcome as, you know, in Israel's plan as Jews were. But that ended quickly, because at the end of the work, when as we were talking about in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 18 there, it wasn't very long. It was during that diminishing that the Lord was still offering to individual believing Jews to come into that program. So, according to Romans 1, chapter 1, that we read a few minutes ago, Paul's initial calling, he was initially separated unto the gospel of God. And he did that right away. He didn't hesitate. If you look at, I'm pulling up verses as I go. As I said at the beginning, I didn't finish with the notes here, and I got some verses down. But if you look at Acts 9:20, he did. It says, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. That's messiahship of Jesus. Preached Christ, that he is the Son of God and the sonship of Jesus. So he was preaching about Jesus. Other places it says Jesus and the resurrection. So that's what he was preaching about, who Jesus is. And that's what they had failed to believe, wasn't it? The Jews, they failed to believe the name of Jesus or identity of Jesus, who he was. And that's what Paul starts out preaching. It gives him credibility, and it proves that he's saved, and it was the thing that was necessary for the people to believe in order for him to later be called in Acts 13, Christ's second appointment of Paul, that he would, well, we'll get into that in a minute, but, I got my notes mixed up here. I wrote a couple things down, and they go after this. Let's go ahead and read Acts 13, 1 through 5. Let me get them posted here. I'm not good at doing two things at once. two, three, Okay. Thanks. For there are going to be some others too. So, did I get four down there? No, I didn't. Four and five, and then we'll just go through them. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. This would be the church, the kingdom church, kingdom believers, Israelites scattered by the persecution of Paul. They went downhill north to Antioch, some of them. They went all over the area, Judea. Anyway, and that church was, it's called the Church of God. It's the kingdom church, not the body of Christ church. And it says, now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas, and it names them, five people. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manian, and Saul. So we get to the second verse, and it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so we go on to these next two verses kind of split the sending. It's a simultaneous sending by two entities, okay? Let's read this. The third verse is those prophets and teachers. When they, those prophets and teachers, had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So there's the sending by that group. And then when you look in verse 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, there's the Holy Ghost sending in the same event, departed unto Seleucia. From there, thence they sailed to Cyprus. And that's important because the verse 3 sending, we'll see in a few minutes here, that ends in Acts 14:26. Acts 14:26. But the verse 4, sending by the Holy Ghost, doesn't end until it's exceeded, really, but it's extended in the sending to all people. See, this sending, you can read about in 1 Corinthians 9, 17, and 18. It was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It was the a dispensing of the gospel of Christ. Hold on just a minute, please. So there we've got the split sending, the one that ended in Acts 14:26, and the other didn't leave them without a sending from Acts 14:26 until Acts 20, when they were sent to all people. That send, where it says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, that Holy Ghost sending continued on until it's further further sent. That's not grammatically correct there, sorry, but until Paul is sent by the Holy Ghost further than he had been, not just to the Jew first and also to the Greek, but to all people. In Acts 20, as you can read in Acts 22, verses 17 to 21. Okay, we handle that in other lessons, and we're not going to, I'm running over here already, so if you need to write a book... this is what I'm doing. So, let's go on past verse 4. When you get to verse 5, it says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. Now, this is, don't forget, this is long before Paul had established a manner in doing things. Some of it was coming together, I'm sure. But his manner later in Acts 17 became that he would go to a city, find where the Jews met, and he would, for three Sabbath days, meet with them in the Jewish meeting there, in their synagogues or wherever. and preach to them the gospel of God. Not the gospel of salvation yet, but what they had missed in the ministry of Jesus Christ, what they had disbelieved, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, risen from the dead. He would preach that for three Sabbath days in their meetings, and then those that would believe, he would separate out. It says they met with him. It says they consorted in another place. They would meet together in Paul's meeting in the same city or same area there. And Paul would preach to them the gospel of Christ during this diminishing period when he was going to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So it says here in verse 5, this is Acts 13:5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. That's John Mark. Had John to their minister, or to help them, to serve them. Minister and serve are very similar. They're, you know, dichotomous. So we go on to... Well, we saw those two sendings. John to their minister. Let's look at a couple verses here relating to John. Acts 13:13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came... This is in Acts 13. Did I see John? This is Acts 13:13. Now when Paul and his company had loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Well, it doesn't say whether he was sick or, had a separate mission that he was supposed to go on or what. But you get to Acts 15:38, and they're going out again, and Paul and Barnabas are talking about it, and Paul thought not, this is Acts 15:38, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. So there you've got the work titled again, named again. That was when John departed. They're talking about adding John, taking John with them. He's named earlier in the passage. So that time, in Acts 13, John Mark went with them, but then in the 13th verse, Acts 13, verse 13, he leaves them and goes back. He heard, some of what they were preaching, and it didn't match with his Jewish upbringing, apparently. I don't know if that's the reason, but he departed and went not with them to the work. So, if you look further in that Acts 13 chapter, we're told specifically about what he was preaching and what he was doing then. It says, verse 41, Acts 13:41, "Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." Sounds pretty much the same as Habakkuk 1:5, doesn't it? But that's Paul speaking it. He's not gone prophetic or anything. He is answering. He's God's message to these people that they need to believe what Paul preached, the gospel of God, and then the gospel of Christ to be saved. So I think I mentioned at the beginning, we see it here too. The work is an Israel event. It's something that God is doing in fulfilling prophecy to Israel, offering them another chance. The diminishing is also that same period from Israel's side, but from the body of Christ's side, Paul is working in a dispensation of the gospel. He's dispensing the gospel. What gospel? The gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He's not yet gotten to the point where Christ sent him to all people. So, in Acts 14:26, we see the next step here. thence sailed to Antioch. This is not Antioch of Pisidia. He's going back to his home base there in Antioch, Syria, just north of Jerusalem or Israel. Thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work. The work, and it says, which they fulfilled. They finished the work. That was at Acts 13, verse 3, sending by the five prophets and teachers. So we've been studying about the work, the prophetic aspect of it there. It's been an exposing of the gospel of Christ to apostate Jews that had rejected Christ, or that hadn't heard of Christ. There's one place in the Bible where the term the work is used to point out a different and later function of the body of Christ and of the sending of Paul. And we're about to close here, but Ephesians 4:11 and 12. Ephesians 4:11 and 12, starting in 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work. But it specifies it's different. The work of the ministry. The ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. And if you look in Acts 20, this is what he was called later to, what Paul was called later to, after the diminishing. None of these, after his preaching of the gospel to those Jews first and also to the Greeks during the diminishing. But Acts 20:24 says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry. So Ephesians 4:12 says, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. It's not going after the Jews anymore. It's this ministry that he's talking about here. Might finish the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's a different name than the gospel of Christ. But as you study it, you find out the only difference is the audience. He's not just going to the Jew first and to the Greek also. He's going to all people. He's going far hence to those far off Gentiles in Ephesians 2:13 and Ephesians 2:17, the far off Gentiles. And it's a change it's a different step in that transitioning from God working in the world through Israel to God not working in the world through Israel. It's not just a change in the way God uses Israel like was promoted before. I recommend that nobody call that number and talk to that person. He'll just probably confuse you or try to. So Ephesians, written long after the end of the work, the prophetic work there, the work of preaching the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But here we see that it was written about the work of the ministry. So, open for questions. I hope that it's been, you know, showing some. There's, during that early time, especially between Acts, let's see, when Israel fell in Acts 7 and Acts 15, was this diminishing period when God sent the work, did this work, worked the work among them, it says, and it would be a short work, that God would cut it short in righteousness. Well, after the Lord cut it short to Israel, the only way to be saved or to come to God at all was by Paul's gospel, that believe that Christ died for your sins and rose to justify you, and you are saved. That's, and you're declared righteous. Cut it short in righteousness. Okay, any questions or comments before we have a closing song?